Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a special edition of Movies That Changed My Life. Today's very special guests are my dear friends, co-workers, video producers at IMDb, Lizzie Bassett and Alex Logan. Lizzie, you've heard on Movies That Changed My Life a couple times. She interviewed me, we did some fan questions, and I'm sure once you hear Alex's voice, you will recognize him from some of the many videos he has produced and hosted on IMDb. But the reason they're with us today is because, big news, IMDb is going to be launching a new podcast on December 3rd called IMDb is Obsessed. You'll see the trailer here on this feed, and the first couple episodes will actually appear on the Movies That Changed My Life feed as well. Alex and Lizzie are here to talk about the movies that changed their lives. But before we get to that, let's hear from them about IMDb is Obsessed. Lizzie, talk to us. Tell the people what they're going to be hearing on their podcast feeds.
Oh, thanks, Ian. We're extremely excited about this show. Basically, every Friday, we're going to reveal the one movie or TV show that the IMDb team is completely obsessed with. Get it? That's the title. And why you must add it to your watch list. We're going to tell you where to find it, why we love it. We will give you behind the scenes info on the cast and creators, and we will also curate a list for you of what you can watch next. So really, I think everybody at this point is feeling some streaming fatigue in terms of not knowing what to find, where to find it, and we want to help you be ahead of the curve on finding that next hot, 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 hot title. Alex, did I miss anything?
No, there's just too many choices out there, and we help you just wade through all of the different streaming services and find just the best stuff, the stuff that we are, quote unquote, obsessed with, and hopefully you will be too.
Yeah, we're so excited to be able to be talking to you guys once a week starting December 3rd, and our goal is to help you find your fandom and just discover new series and movies before they hit the zeitgeist. So we're going to be using our special blend, a little secret sauce of IMDb data, and of course also the personal recommendations of the movie and TV experts that work here.
Check out the trailer and head over to IMDb is Obsessed to subscribe now, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Seriously, do it. Get over there.
All right, so let's get into the movies that changed Lizzie Bassett and Alex Logan's lives. Per usual, we're going to go in chronological order. I had you each pick one movie that changed your life, and we could not have had a better spread. Let's kick it off with Lizzie's pick first, which is the 1962 thriller classic, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. It is 8.1 out of 10 with 53,000 ratings on IMDb. Directed by Robert Aldrich, written by Henry Farrell and Lucas Heller, starring the incomparable Bette Davis and Joan Crawford and Victor Buono. The synopsis, according to IMDb, is a former child star torments her paraplegic sister in their decaying Hollywood mansion. Lizzie is a huge fan of true crime and thrillers. So Lizzie, when you picked this, I was like, duh. Obviously, this movie changed your life. This is one of the original true crime thriller Hollywood stories. So Lizzie, talk to me about Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Yeah, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, I saw for the first time when I was probably way too young to see this, which is a frequent, that keeps coming up again and again for me. My mom loved old movies, particularly old horror movies. And so I saw them when she wanted to watch them. So I saw Psycho when I was like 8, and I saw Whatever Happened to Baby Jane when I couldn't possibly understand it, probably about 9 or 10 years old. This movie, if anybody hasn't seen it, Bette Davis and Joan Crawford are over 50 in this movie, which for Hollywood, particularly Hollywood in the 1960s, most women actors were not acting at that point. The fact that they did this and that they did it with the gusto that they did is really impressive. And even though I didn't fully understand what I was looking at the first time I saw this movie, I was absolutely transfixed by it. I think it definitely influenced my taste in terms of how much I love horror movies, and particularly female-driven horror movies, which this one very much is. And then I think what started to interest me more and more about this movie is the sort of real life backstory behind it, which is, of course, that famously Bette Davis and Joan Crawford had a major feud on set and beyond. And of course, if you guys want some further watching, there is a Ryan Murphy show called Feud that is entirely about the filming of this movie. So I won't get into this too much. But what really stuck with me and created kind of a fascination for me about behind the scenes is the story of the two of them and the story of how this movie came to be and how two women who, by all accounts, just absolutely hated each other managed to turn in unbelievable performances in one of the best movies I've ever seen. And also just kind of showed me that, like, you can look absolutely horrifying, which Bette Davis does in this, and, like, it's the best thing you've ever seen. It doesn't, you know, I think to a certain point, and especially as a little girl, like, all I'd seen was just these sort of very pretty portrayals on screen. And this is the absolute opposite of that. In fact, Bette Davis actually did her own makeup in this movie because the makeup artist refused to do it as badly as she wanted them to do it.
And that adds so much to her character.
Oh my God.
Like, the makeup gets, like, progressively more
horrifying,
like horrifying as the movie goes on. And, like, as Bette Davis as Baby Jane Hudson sort of spirals, you know, into her darkness throughout the whole movie. It's a really subtle change, but it adds so much to the feel of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this movie just really, it showed me that women are allowed to be ugly on screen. And I don't even mean physically ugly. I mean, like, that you can be an ugly person, that those characters exist. I personally have never been particularly drawn to the sort of strong female character trope that I feel like we tend to see a lot. And I really enjoy getting to see, like, evil, interesting women. And that's exactly what this movie is, I think.
Yeah, it totally is. And it's something, you know, when you watch it and you're thinking, oh, like a thriller from 1962, it can't be that. It can't be that thriller.
No, it's like amazing
what people can get away with. But it absolutely is. Like, there is a moment, maybe like in the first act, where Baby Jane, who, like, was a child star and has since grown into, like, Lizzie said, a 50-year-old sort of has been at this moment. She goes down into her basement and she sees, like, these old dolls that they had made of her when she was a child vaudeville star. And, like, at that moment, you get, like, chills up your spine. Like, something could have been made, like, today with this sort of sequence and have an equal effect. Because it was just, like, very ahead of its time, and it has, like, true scares. It's not like a campy sort of goofy horror. Like, there is, like, something really, like, tense and uncomfortable about the movie. And it just shows how amazing this movie is, that it just holds up so many years later, where movies have, like, pulled ideas and tropes and thoughts from this. But when you see, like, the original iteration of it, it's incredible how great it is.
Yeah, this is technically the genesis of what's known as the psycho biddy genre, I believe, is the term for the crazy old lady scary movies, which I am a big fan of.
Yeah, Alex, what are your thoughts on Whatever Happened to Baby
Jane? Oh, I love it. I mean, you know, I've already outed myself as a big horror fan, and this movie it came out on Halloween 1962.
Yes, it did.
So it was definitely positioned as a horror movie, and it's so crucial to, like, so many films that would come after it, both in horror and across. I mean, I think it's, you know, you can see direct parallels in something like John Carpenter's Halloween, where you're stalking around a house and you're, you know, just terrified and trapped with a person that you can't stop. You know, you can't predict what they're going to do. And then it's also, you know, there's a direct line between this to something like Monster, the Charlize Theron movie, where, you know, she's playing an evil woman and she's letting herself be ghastly, you know, look completely outside of herself and not be all glammed up. I think this broke down a lot of barriers in Hollywood, and changed a lot of like what we thought could be a movie anyways. And it's just so good at being messing with you psychologically. It's a psychological horror, and that's why I think it stands the test of time, because it still creeps into your brain. It still makes you uncomfortable. And it still has an interesting story that's relevant today. You know, entertainment changes too fast, and nobody can really hold on tight. You know, it's your 15 minutes of fame are quickly up, and Hollywood will eat you alive is what we've learned from so many of these movies. And I don't know. I think it still rings true. It's still fascinating, and it still, creeps under your skin. I love it. I love it. And I never remember how affecting it is until I sit down and watch it again and then just go like, and get goosebumps all over.
I had that exact same feeling when I threw it on to watch for this. Lizzie, you were going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say one thing that I think is really fascinating about this story is that even though these two women have been pitted against each other for decades at this point in the media, and there's some debate as to whether or not they actually did hate each other, they still chose to work together. Like this, the idea to do this movie came from Joan Crawford. This was not some studio executive who was like, oh, this is the movie we should make. It was Joan Crawford read the book that this movie was based on. She was like, I want to do this. I want to play Blanche. Betty Davis should be Baby Jane. And she really drove the project. And she apparently is the one that convinced Betty Davis to join as well. And I love that story. You know, say what you will about Joan Crawford, she was an impeccable businesswoman. And I think that there's a lesson there in terms of like business and story over everything. There's so much to learn from it, both from the two women at the forefront, even though their relationship after this movie did deteriorate to a place that was sad. But this really, really made me love particularly psychological horror, the way that Alex is talking about it. And made me feel like, okay, there's stories to tell about women beyond the age of 32, 33.
Right. Which Hollywood is still struggling to sort of keep up with now. I mean, I know one of your favorite shows that came out this year, Lizzie Hacks. I mean, you were so stoked in that movie when that show came out, because it is about an older comedian who was trying to like get back into where she was, right?
Well, I mean, I loved Hacks. I feel like Hacks was a showcase for Jean Smart, who's deserved that for, 30 years at this point. It's an interesting comparison to draw, because obviously that's a comedy. Nobody is serving anybody rats or birds or hitting people over the head with hammers yet.
Tying them to their bed. It is only season one, so you don't know where the show can go.
Hacks writers, listen up. We'd like to see more hammers and But there is an element of, you know, of Jean Smart allowing herself, which I think she always has, to be honest, but that character allowing her to really just expose a very genuine personality that's not always nice. It's not always appealing. Like there's parts of that where she really does horrible stuff. And the same for Hannah Einbinder, who plays the younger character that is paired with her in that. And I appreciate that. I feel like that's a stretch that women aren't more frequently, but haven't in the past been often offered, is the ability to show like that you're not a perfect person, that you're going to do bad things. And we so frequently see the flawed man character as the anti-hero. You don't get that often. And I would just like to say to all you screenwriters out there, make more of them.
Any last thoughts, Lizzie or Alex, before we move on to Alex's pick?
Just one watch list addition to it. The Act a Hulu show from a couple years ago with Patricia Arquette and Joey King. This is a true crime story based on the murder of Dee Dee Blanchard by her daughter and daughter's boyfriend. It's a really disturbing story. There's some great documentaries and great ID specials, which I'm sure Lizzie and I have both watched at least once. But it's a really fascinating dramatization of it. And it gets really into the mental state of both the daughter and the mother and how kind of parasitic their relationship is. Really great show. Really, really twisted and weird. And yeah, if you like Baby Jane, you're definitely going to like The Act, I think.
Yeah. In terms of a watch list for Baby Jane, real quick, I think we can definitely add The Act to it. Check out Feud by Ryan Murphy if you want to learn more about the backstory behind this. And then if you want to know a little bit more about Bette Davis and Joan Crawford's acting history, I would highly recommend that you look at All About Eve for Bette Davis, one of the greatest movies ever made. And go ahead and give Mildred Pierce a watch for Joan Crawford. It is very of its time, but it is worth it.
Not Mommy Dearest?
Well, you know, sure. Go ahead
also
and add
horrifying.
That.
Well, that was whatever happened to Baby Jane.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Let's move on to something completely different, to Alex's pick for the movie that changed his life. This is 1997's action adventure prison breakout film, Con Air. It has a 6.9 out of 10 with 285,000 ratings on IMDb. It is directed by Simon West, written by Scott Rosenberg, starring Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, John Malkovich, Ving Rhames, Dave Chappelle, Rachel Takotin. The list goes on and on and on. And the synopsis, according to IMDb, is newly paroled ex-con and former U.S. Ranger Cameron Poe finds himself trapped in a prisoner transport plane when the passengers seize control. So similar in the way that Whatever Happened to Baby Jane is just such a clear one film depiction of Lizzie's taste in movies and TV and the sort of things she'll be talking about for IMDb is Obsessed. Con Air is an equally obvious, perfect representation of Alex's film and TV love. So Alex, talk to us about Con Air.
Absolutely. I have been waiting my whole life to talk about this. No, this is a film I saw when I was 12. I saw it in theaters. I remember seeing the Standee in my small town showcase cinemas, Crosspoint, and getting so excited seeing this, you know, like the prisoners take over the plane and, you know, crash it into Las Vegas. I'm there. And I already was familiar with Nicolas Cage because I've been a huge Raising Arizona fan since I was a kid. It was a movie that was on cable all the time and I had started to get obsessed with. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was very aware of him. I had seen The Rock the year before. My grandpa took me to that one because, I mean, you know, Sean Connery is in it. So every grandpa was excited for that. And he's you know, kicking butt again. So even more exciting. But this was a movie that I remember seeing the original trailers for, getting really excited for it, and then just never stopped being excited about it. It was so silly and over the top and fun. I mean, it is just like consistently quotable. needlessly complicated in plot, I would say, as well. There were things that, like, I every time I watch it, I'm like, oh, that's why. Okay, sure, whatever, who cares? Like, just get us to the next action sequence or the next time that Nicolas Cage is running in slow motion with his hair whipping in the wind. Just
right, with an explosion behind him,
Yes, oh, God, that shot. And yeah, it's you know, completely bombastic. It's just one of the best rides of the 90s. It's what Jerry Bruckheimer was all about in this period. Mm-hmm. And when he and Nicolas Cage hooked up and started making movies together, I think The Rock was their first. It just was off to the races with them and, you know, minted Nicolas Cage as this action star that he still tries to be sometimes today. I'm always here for it. Nicolas Cage is, I mean, he's got to be my favorite actor. He may not be the best actor that has ever lived, but he's my favorite. He's the one I find most interesting. And I recently, during the lockdown, I went through and watched everything he ever did in order, starting with the TV pilot that he made with Crispin Glover in 1981. Nicolas Cage is so fascinating. He never phones it in, I would say. Maybe there's, you know, levels, different levels of the intensity of the dial that he turns up and turns down. But when he's locked in and he's giving it his all, he's doing something interesting and I'm here for it every single time.
I love that you went back and talked to people about you going back through all of Nicolas Cage's like IMDb filmography, because in the same way that Lizzie is so into like finding out the true backstories of like, if you talk to Lizzie about any movie, she'll like give you a ton of like, you know, behind the scenes details of every single shot of this movie that she loves, which is awesome. And then at the same time, like when you talk to Alex about a movie or Nicolas Cage or an actor, he can just pull things out of the hat from like this random movie from 1992 that no one has seen, but Alex like hunted down some random VHS copy.
Yeah, Alex
and will
a
give you the full synopsis of it.
Yes.
So like, you know, again, like I've been saying, just being able to talk to you and having you guys select these things, it's so obvious, and like getting a really perfect preview of the type of things that you two will be talking about on IMDb is obsessed. And so, Alex, I'm curious, you already talked about how Nicolas Cage sort of has had Pig recently and Prisoner's Ghostland and Mandy a couple years ago. I kind of find that Con Air and a lot of these like 90s action movies are sort of having like a second resurgence with in pop culture. And do you think that's because people will see Nicolas Cage in like a Mandy, in a Pig, and they'll like go back and be like, I gotta like see some of this other stuff like again to see sort of where he came from? Is there sort of a correlation there for you?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, they're cable classics, as I like to call them. They're always on and they're always fun, and you can pick them up at any point and there's another action scene right around the corner. If you know, if you turn it on USA and there's they may be talking for a moment, don't worry, something will explode within the next, you know, before the next commercial break. So just hang on tight. Yeah, I think they're always fun too. And you know, there's a lot about like a lot of the movies now are very complicated within a larger universe or a larger series, which I'm a big fan of course. You know, I'm a completionist. I'll marathon any ridiculous franchise or, you know, actor's work, filmmaker's work. I love going through a director's entire filmography, but not everybody is as keen to do that and to know all of the kind of like continuing stories that connect between all these movies. These are one-offs. You don't need to know that much more about, you know, Cameron Poe outside of this story or what happens to him next. You just buckle in for this one dumb ride with them and you have a good time. I think there's a lot of entertainment value in that.
I love these movies too. I think Alex and Lizzie are well aware of my love of Armageddon as one of my favorite movies ever.
Yes.
But Lizzie, going to you, so I would love to read some texts Lizzie and I were sharing yesterday as she was watching.
Well, let me preface this by saying I have never seen Con Air not on TV, and I'd never seen it all the way through. It was like Alex is saying, you know, it would come on TNT or USA. I would watch for 10 minutes and all I would see is Nick Cage being like, that's my daughter's bunny. And then I'd flip to something else. So this was the first time.
Back in the box.
Yeah. And so Lizzie texts me saying, I'm starting Con Air right now. I don't think I've seen this since I was like 10. Literally 10 minutes later, wait, this movie is insane.
Yeah.
So Lizzie, tell me, what was it like experiencing Con Air in completion for the first time?
I mean, I loved it. It is just a 90s action hero smorgasbord. I don't know how to say that word. But the cast of this is nuts. I had no idea that many people are in this. I have to shout out Michael T. Williamson, who many will know, of course, as Bubba from Forrest Gump, but he also plays Limehouse in Justified, and he's amazing. I love seeing him whenever he shows up. I wish I could see him more. I was thrilled to see him in this. But I honestly, Nick Cage, go home. That was my, like, he has so many opportunities to go home to his wife and his daughter. And every time, every other line, he's like, I just love them so much and I can't wait to get back. And then he just doesn't do it. He's like, I have to stay, though. And that's the whole movie over and over again.
He's a hero.
And I loved it. He's a hero.
He has to get baby Odell his medication. Come
of
on.
Of course, yeah. Yes.
He can't let him die.
Needs his insulin. And
yes. Baby-O,
his,
please.
Baby-O, I'm sorry.
Use his character's name.
Yes, I'm sorry. No, I loved it. It was thoroughly entertaining from beginning to end. I had no idea just how insane it was going to be. I also mm-hmm. like that at the end, you're expected to root for Steve Buscemi, the serial killer.
Yep. Yes, the Marietta
spoiler
Mangler.
Spoiler alert, escaped and is now just playing craps in Vegas. And I guess is a changed man because he didn't murder that little girl in the empty swimming pool. Unclear.
Yeah,
but,
he had fake tea time and that cured
okay.
him of all his illness.
Good.
Yeah,
no, he's well, good that, great. Overall, you know, you just can't do better than Nick Cage with his hair flapping in the wind as he runs away from an explosion. I am also a huge Nick Cage fan, although I feel like I gravitate more towards early pre-Con Air Nick Cage. And Alex, you may gravitate more towards the later era. But Moonstruck is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Absolutely.
It's one that I saw very young. Nick Cage in Moonstruck, I think, is just like still stands out to me as one of the most romantic performances ever. I love it so much. And that movie, if you've never seen it, just, you know, grab yourself some chocolate and some pasta, sit down and watch Cher and Nicolas Cage fall in love. And it's amazing. Yeah. So I'm a Valley girl, Moonstruck, Raising Arizona kind of girl. So it was interesting to see the sort of turning point for Nick Cage in Con Air. And of course, also enjoy John Cusack, John Malkovich, all of the Johns.
Yeah.
And Dave Chappelle, he did not last long in this. I didn't realize that he gets ejected from the plane real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Right, right. Yeah, this movie is stacked with character actors. And I think that's honestly where I started to really dive deeply into IMDb back in the day, because I saw this movie and I loved everybody in it. And everybody was a very big character, very memorable. And I think I started like kind of going down and being like, who's this Steve Buscemi guy? Like, what else has he done? And then I saw Fargo and started to get into, you know, kind of all the other movies that he was in. And Ving Rhames, I absolutely love. Yeah, Danny Trejo. I mean, there's so many of these great character actors who would explode and be in everything from here on out. But I think this was, you know, kind of the point that opened up to like actors' filmographies and getting kind of obsessed with who's this guy and what else has he done and what else can I see him in and what can I get excited about.
What movies would you add for those who watch Con Air, they love it, to their watch lists? I mean, I would obviously, Armageddon would be my pick.
Well, I'm going to go down, you know, the Nick Cage rabbit hole and throw Raising Arizona on there for sure. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. I could spend hours and hours on that. But I think Con Air is the one that, you know, really changed my life and unlocked all those other Nick Cage roles. And also Wild at Heart, David Lynch's Wild at Heart with Nicolas Cage and Laura Dern is another just absolutely perfect movie with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, I will go in a slightly different direction and recommend another fantastic action hero who continues to be so to this day, which is, if you like this, go ahead and go the Keanu direction. I know it doesn't seem like a direct comparison to Nick Cage because they're very different, but John Wick, all of the John Wick movies are just excellent. They are so much fun, and I feel like that's what is enjoyable about Con Air. Alex touched on this earlier, but it's like there's a massive action sequence that's just insane and so much fun to watch. And then there's like just enough story to make it make sense to get to the next one that is also insane and awesome. And John Wick completely understood that. And it's just beautifully done. And then continuing down the Keanu rabbit hole for one more Con Air recommendation, I would say go ahead and add Speed to your list because it is so much fun. It really matches that 90s energy. You can't do better than Dennis Hopper as your crazed villain atop the subway train. And it's just, it is fun beginning to end.
Well, perfect. So for those who listen, I'm sure they all know that I love to end this show by asking, what is the through line between the guests' picks as to why they think they picked them? So since you each picked one, it is slightly different. I'd love to know like how you think these two movies that you picked would be through lines into IMDb is Obsessed.
I mean, that's easy for me. I feel like the through line between the two movies Alex and I both chose is that they're the movies that kind of drove our obsession with TV and film. It drove a desire for me to learn more about the story behind the movie, about how it was made, about the people that make these movies, what they were really like. And, you know, to Alex's point, it really, not to plug our home too much, but it drives me back to IMDb movies like this, because you want to know more about who's in it. You want to know every character actor. You want to be able to go to the trivia section on IMDb, which, by the way, is great for Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. And yeah, it really made me so fascinated with the actual process of filmmaking.
Yeah, absolutely. I would call these almost gateway drugs.
You know,
once you unlocked these, then what else is there out there that I need to know about and need to see? They were both entry points. I think Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, I saw a little bit later than you, probably in high school, Lizzie.
That's more appropriate.
Yeah, probably. But it was one where I was like, oh my God, who are these women? They're incredible. I need to see so much more of those. And that's, right when I saw both Mildred Pierce and All About Eve and was like, oh my God, these are incredible. They still hold up to this day.
Yeah, I love that.
Love it. Very clear. Again, like I said, once you two picked these movies, it became abundantly obvious, and I was very excited to talk to you about these. So before we wrap here, do you guys want to talk about IMDb is Obsessed once again? Where can people listen? All that jazz.
Yes, of course. So please remember that IMDb is Obsessed will be debuting next Friday, December 3rd. You can find the first episode on this feed, but please go ahead and subscribe to the IMDb is Obsessed feed. That's where you will be able to see all episodes in the future, and that is going to be available everywhere you listen to podcasts.
For movies that changed my life, we're going to be having some episodes like kind of monthly over the next couple months as IMDb is Obsessed is getting kicked off. And I think you'll be able to hear me over on that pod as well for certain episodes when they can use my eyes and ears and opinions to see what I am obsessed with. In the meantime, thank you everyone for listening. And Alex, Lizzie, it has been a pleasure. And I'm very much looking forward to listening to IMDb is Obsessed starting next week.
Awesome. Expect a lot more Nick Cage.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.